Hi, I'm Femi Oke. Today on the stream, Rohingya refugees versus Facebook. The media giant is being sued for $150 billion for providing a platform that spread hate speech and violence in Myanmar. We will dig deeper into the lawsuit and what it may well mean for the way that Facebook operates around the world. Let's meet our guests who will help us do that. Hello to you, Tung Kin, Jason, Sophie. So nice to have all three of you with us on the stream today. Tung Kin, please introduce yourself to our stream audience.
I'm Tung Kin, I'm a Rohingya. I was born and brought up western part of Burma, Arakan State. I left from our country when I was about 17. I founded Burmese Rohingya Organization UK with other Rohingyas in London. We are advocating for the rights of Rohingya to end Rohingya genocide, for the justice of the Rohingya, to empower and rebuild the genocide survivor, where we have about 1 million Rohingya genocide survivors in Bangladesh refugee camps.
Thank you for joining us, Tung Kin. Hello, Jason. Nice to have you part of our show. Please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Hi. Well, I'm a partner at McHugh Jewellery, and we're bringing the case with Mishkon Duraya, another law firm in London. And we're very proud to represent survivors of the Rohingya genocide, such as Tin and the people he supports.
Thank you so much for being part of the show. And hello, Sophie. This brings a completely different angle to this conversation, but it's a very important one. Please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie. I used to work at Facebook. I became a whistleblower half a year ago in April. At Facebook, I spent my spare time catching foreign national governments who were using fake accounts to mislead and repress their citizens. I didn't work personally on Myanmar, but I'm here to provide context based on my knowledge at Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I wish the best to the Rohingya people in their lawsuit and to all the people of Myanmar in their struggle against the repressive military regime.
All right, Sophie, thank you for bringing your insider knowledge. If you have questions for any of our guests, now is the time to ask them. If you're on YouTube, jump into the comment section, be part of today's program. Jason, I'm going to start on my laptop. This seems like an audacious claim, Rohingya Facebook claim. Lawyers representing the Rohingya people around the world, including those living in refugee camps in Bangladesh, have launched coordinated legal actions against Facebook perpetrated by the Myanmar regime and extremist civilians against the Rohingya people. This is a huge lawsuit. How did it get started, Jason?
Well, a number of years ago, we came across, my team came across the fact that hate speech was being perpetuated and amplified through the algorithms and the dopamine like structures or whatever it is on Facebook and Twitter. And this was causing harm to the Rohingya. And being simple lawyers, we looked at this and said, they must be made accountable. There was clearly a wrong being done. And that wrong was that they didn't have enough moderators dealing with this situation. And they had an algorithm that perpetuated hate speech.
Tung Kin, this is something that you have been campaigning about for a very long time. In fact, on the stream, Al Jazeera, we've covered some of the atrocities that happened to the Rohingya people. So What does this lawsuit do in terms of that campaigning? How does it crystallise it?
One thing is, first, we need to look at, you know, Rohingya genocide. During genocide, the Facebook played a key role, you know, spreading hate speech. And as a whole, Burma in a country is spread up, and many figures, military leaders, they were through Facebook spreading, just get rid of them, exterminate them, and kill them all. And these are Kalas. They are trying to invade our land. We cannot accept that. So those what military perpetrated, these are justifying, and a lot of misinformation, you know, through Facebook that really encouraged military to kill thousands of Rohingya lives. And we have seen, we can see today, 1 million people, the world's largest refugee camp in the world in Bangladesh, about 1 million Rohingya genocide survivors in the camps, and thousands of Rohingya were slaughtered, and, you know, thousands of Rohingya women been raped by the Burmese military. Those are all justified. Just in Facebook, you know, pages, just get rid of them. We don't want to see this race in our country. They not belongs to us. So it's really, really encouraged and justification to the military as a, in a country. So we are human beings. As I'm Rohingya, I brought up in our kind of state, you know, I have seen Rohingya genocide survivors, what they suffered. And so we really need justice, what Facebook contributed, hate speech through their platform, a big giant tech. And they should not allow this. And so our point is, as a Rohingya, we want justice. We really want to see Facebook responsibility, and we want to see what Facebook will do about it. So we really want to get also to rebuild our community, compensation, justice. And as a big tech company, they should now allow this happen to any community in the world. You know, we suffered. We enough, you know, is already... We lost everything. Our land's been already more than 380 villages burned down. Can you imagine the almost 80% population fled from a country where we belong to, where our native land, our kind of state, Burmese military get rid of us. So this is very important for the justice.
Tinkin, we hear you so clearly here. It's like, where is the justice? So this, perhaps, this class lawsuit, maybe this is where the justice is. Sophie, I'm going to reunite you with a fellow Facebook whistleblower called Francis Hogan, who testified in front of Congress. And it appears to me that Facebook, as huge as it is, as huge as a global company is, does not have the culture to understand the world. Here's Francis, and I'd really love you to talk about that. Does Facebook, is it equipped to manage all of the different countries that it has Facebook appearing in? Let's take a look at Francis, what she has to say first.
I saw Facebook repeatedly encounter conflicts between its own profits and our safety. Facebook consistently resolved these conflicts in favor of its own profits. The result has been more division, more harm, more lies, more threats, and more combat. In some cases, this dangerous online talk has led to actual violence that harms and even kills people.
Absolutely. So what I want to say first is that Facebook is a company. Its goal is to make money. Facebook says that it's trying to handle these problems, but we don't trust Philip Morris, tobacco companies, when they say that they're trying to end cigarette addiction. We don't trust fossil fuel companies like ExxonMobil when they say that they're trying to end global warming. At the end of the day, Facebook is a company, and to the extent it cares about these matters, it's because of public attention, which is a very limited resource in countries like Myanmar. The activity in Myanmar is not new. Three years ago, the United Nations fact-finding mission, they said that Facebook played a determining role in the Myanmar genocide. Facebook has apologized for its actions repeatedly, but it has failed to take action because at the end of the day, Facebook is a company and there is no profit in stopping genocide for them.
Yes, Jason.
No, I wanted to say, I think Sophie's just told it as it is. And, you know, what we're dealing here with Facebook is a monopolistic juggernaut, which is out of control, running through our cultural streets. And they seem to feel that they can move around this world with impunity, using carefully crafted structures to avoid liability. And it's got to stop. These things have to change. They have to change. We can't allow other people like the Rohingya to go through what the Rohingya have gone through. And right now, we've got these same issues that Sophie's just talking about here going on in Ethiopia and against the Tigray. It's got to stop.
I'm wondering about the challenge of identifying hate speech online, Tinkin. It's easy for an algorithm to spot certain things like nudity, for instance, or indecency. That those things are quite easy to spot. But you'll need to have language skills in order to spot hate speech.
Exactly. That's what I want to point out here. When Facebook entered to Burma, they did not hire enough Burmese and Rohingyas and others who understand about political context of Burma. That's really, you know, that's create a big harm for whole the whole society. So until I think, as far as I know, that Mark Zuckerberg here in coming to the Senate, they didn't hire enough. Even now, I don't think they have enough. Only about 100 over. So
they had about 50 local language experts. But initially, when some of the worst atrocities were happening, they had no Burmese speakers. Let me just share this conversation with Sophie. Sophie, what did you want to add? Go ahead.
Absolutely. And so with these sorts of questions, most people immediately jump to the assumption that content moderation is what causes this, that the problem with hate speech is that it is being said. But conspiracy theories and hateful speech have always existed. The Jewish people are sadly familiar with the blood libel that has been spilled over the centuries. 60 years ago, a common conspiracy theory in the United States was that fluoride in water was a communist plot to mind control people. The difference today is not that these conspiracy theories, that this hate speech is being spoken and written, it's that it is being spread and distributed. Before, in the past, if someone wanted to get attention, they needed to go through gatekeepers, whether that was major newspapers or other media outlets or even trusted individuals in a smaller, more rural country. But Facebook has short-circuited that. We take virality and freedom of distribution for granted these days, but this is extremely new and atypical, and the world is still grappling with its effects. And the consequences of it are numerous, whether among the Rohingya people in Myanmar, whether among those killed by ethnic violence in Sri Lanka, whether among local villagers lynched to death by viral rumors in India. We take it for granted, but to me, this is not a question of content moderation. This is a content of content distribution. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the right to freedom of speech, but no one has the right to be heard, to be distributed. Al Jazeera does not have a responsibility to broadcast every single person to the entire world. But Facebook has short-circuited this and made it extremely easy.
Okay. Let me just bring in Jason. Jason, I want to show you something. I'm sure you're aware of this. Meta, which is now the big company that Facebook is known as, on my laptop here, updating its Ethiopian audience on the long-standing work to protect people in Ethiopia. So in Ethiopia right now, there is a civil conflict, and the various different groups sometimes use social media in order to share their thoughts, their opinions, talk back and forth with each other. So Facebook here is saying, this is what we're doing to manage this, to curate this. But we also heard from a journalist who said that what Facebook is doing is not enough. I really want to get your thoughts about the tentative action that Facebook is making right now, and if it's connected to your lawsuit. Here's Lucy, first of all.
In May, just one day after I published one of my articles, a prominent pro-government activist with 200,000 followers posted my photo and called for my arrest. The post was liked by 6,000 followers and had 1,000 comments, which include, among others, that I should be stoned where found, that police officers should rape me, and there were many more polling comments. It took 6 months for Facebook to remove the post, and only after the case was mentioned in an article by Vice World News about Facebook. I can't imagine what could happen to me if I were inside the country at that time.
Jason, thoughts?
My thoughts are is that I don't think as a society we can believe a word that a corporate like Facebook says. They've known about what was going on in Ethiopia. They should have been on it before it even occurred. If you look at our action, we issued last week. The day after we issued, Facebook made a big announcement that it was taking down military regime accounts in Myanmar. Why was that not done in 2014? Immediately when they were aware of it from the media and from when NGOs got in touch with them. They didn't do it until, or start doing it in any serious way, until they got to the Senate hearings. when they agreed that they'd fallen far short? Did they then go and start do more than an apology to the Rohingya? Did they start realizing that they had corporate responsibility and should be being accountable? No. So now it's the next one, and this is what this case is about. This is what Tung Kin and the survivors want to do. It's not just a case for them. It's not just about reparations and justice for them. It's about stopping this wayward company from creating harm to people all over the world who are vulnerable.
So, Guess, I have some YouTube comments I want to share with you. Jason, this one I'm going to put straight to you. Some pushback to what you're saying here. Facebook is not the United Nations exclamation mark. You would say what to that viewer?
It's certainly not the United Nations. And if it was the United Nations, it would have been the United Nations would have been terminated long ago. Facebook has to understand about corporate responsibility. It has to understand that it's not just about monopolies and making money. They have an effect on society, and where they cross that line, the law will find them liable, and they've got to be brought to heel.
Tung Kin and Sophie, I'm going to put this both to you, and you can split this question. Jesse wonders, would it be a good idea for Facebook to establish regional offices to focus on regions so that they actually understood the culture, the language of these regional offices? Sophie, you go first briefly. Would that be partially a solution?
So Facebook already has regional offices. For instance, in Southeast Asia, these regional offices are focused on working with stakeholders and the power players rather than the people in those regions. So unfortunately, your idea is already in place, and I'm not sure that it's very helpful because it's focused on essentially lobbying rather than fixing the world.
All right, so they're not acting as cultural ambassadors. It's really to maybe get Facebook to spread into more places. Tung Kin, regional offices, maybe a different kind of regional office, would that help?
I totally agree with Sophie. They have already, I think, as far as I know, there is an office in Singapore, and we are hearing there are some people there. They hired I don't know exactly about 100, but it's too late, to be honest. But it's not even enough. You are opening regional office if you don't really take down when our people, we lost our lives. We lost many lives. We lost everything. You know, our people already in Bangladesh refugee camps, 1 million people, you know, they are living in a squalid condition, not getting proper food, not getting proper medical treatment, not getting proper education. So the community, a whole generation growing without education and not proper food. And so the human misery we are seeing in Bangladesh refugee camps. So to be honest, it's quite late, even though they open it, is not really, I don't think it's really working out until you don't take down the Facebook posts, which are hate speech. And you can imagine, just Jason has mentioned, you know, like after we filed for the Rohingya, we filed the case, and the next day they taken down military. Where they have gone, you know, six, 7 years, you know, military commander-in-chief, criminal gang leader, Ming Aung Hlaing, has said, "This is unfinished business. We must get rid of them." 1942 of unfinished business. So these things are encouraging. Yeah, these things really
Tung Kin, I'm just going to share this last part of the conversation with Sophie and then Jason. Sophie, go ahead. Why does it take so long for a post to come down?
I think that fundamentally, Facebook doesn't have a reason to care about this. You could hire everyone in the world to a company, but that won't change anything if they aren't given the leeway and power to actually fix. Within a company like Facebook, I myself and many others tried very hard to fix it. I caught people red-handed with no question of their guilt, and it still took more than a year to take them down in the case of the dictatorships.
Why does it take a year, Sophie? Sophie, why
because they did not care.
Just a shrug.
Because they had, suppose you could tell a tobacco company, we figured out how to stop one person from getting lung cancer as a result of cigarette smoking. the tobacco company has no reason to have a division that prevents people from getting lung cancer. Mm. They don't want people to get lung cancer per se, but they accept it as a cost of doing business, and they have no reason to stop it.
All right, Sophie,
and
let
sadly,
me just
Facebook can be similar.
Let me just tap into what Jason wants to say. Go ahead, Jason.
I just wanted to say that on this program, Tun and Sophie are the real heroes here. And Sophie, I have a question for you, and it's this. This debate, particularly with the Rohingya, is a matter of legitimate public interest. We've written to Facebook and asked them to waive their NDAs and silencing of contracts against employers. Do you feel there's people inside Facebook who don't feel this is right and would want to speak out?
I certainly believe that there are people within Facebook who feel difficult about the situation. With that said, I don't know who. Certainly, most people are most concerned about their own personal countries. Most employees in Facebook are, for instance, Americans or Indians on H-1B visas, or etc. And they're naturally most concerned with their own country. I'm a bit of the odd person out because I'm an American who came forward about countries like Honduras and Azerbaijan that I've never stepped foot in. But I would certainly believe that, for instance, some of the contract workers within Myanmar who are familiar with the local language and presumably have affinity with that country, with the country, would be willing to speak out. But I don't know. I mean, ultimately, this is a situation that has been known for years. It was in the spring of 2018 when the United Nations found Facebook to have a determining role in the ongoing genocide. And ultimately, Facebook has no reason to change that without pressure.
Let me just share something with you, Tung King. So there's a lot of very pointed thoughts on Twitter about Facebook. So people were responding to this program knowing that I was going to have you and Jason and Sophie on the show. So have a look here on my laptop. Facebook is the platform that has caused maximum disruption of social order to outright facilitator of genocide. India is mentioned as an example of another area where Facebook provides free basics and then there's some consequences to that. Mujuzi says, this lawsuit is reactionary, should have stopped a long time ago. And Paul's dodgy account says, why weren't they banned already? This $150 billion lawsuit, if you are successful, where will the money go?
One thing, as far as what we are considering as a Rohingya, as I mentioned earlier, 1 million Rohingya genocide survivors in Bangladesh refugee camps, and also Malaysia, Thailand, India. Many people have fled from the country because of genocide. Even until today, 600,000 Rohingya, their lives are at risk. Ongoing genocide is there. So this is very important to rebuild the community, what they have lost. As I mentioned, they are a kind of human misery. How their situation in Bangladesh refugee camps. We really want to see our brothers and sisters, Rohingya, who are in camps. They must get compensation, and we want to build their future, education, medical care, and, you know, hopefully we can go back our native land. When we go back our native land, we can rebuild our community, mm-hmm. and, you know, that is very important. Burmese government is trying to destroy us intentionally. So this is very important here. We want to rebuild our community. We are a people. We have our land, our culture, and our civilization. So we are not like, we really want to see something to move forward for the genocide survivor. That is our focus, main.
Genocide survivors,
they really need support. Facebook, a big tech company,
Tung King, thank you so much. You made your point so very clearly, and we really appreciate you. What will happen to this lawsuit? Let's keep up to date with it. Have a look here on my laptop. You can follow Tung King. I know he will be posting about it. Jason for sure will be posting about it. And then Sophie's thoughts and comments about what's happening inside of Facebook, you can follow Sophie here on Twitter. Thanks for watching, everyone. See you next time.